People go to therapy and be like, man, you're asking me the uncomfortable questions. People go to therapy and be like, yo, I don't want to answer this. People go to therapy like, man, that therapist tripping. The reason why they saying it is because the therapy is hitting us in our heart. The therapist is hitting us in our soul. The therapist is making us go places in our brain that we ain't been in a long time. The therapist is putting us in uncomfortable position. The therapist is provoking us. Financial therapy. Everything I say, I want to provoke you. I want to make you feel uncomfortable. I want you to say, ouch. I want you to say, ugh. I want you to say, damn, trap. You know why? Because that means we moving the needle. That means we making progress. Provoke the progress. Provoke the purpose. Provoke the prosperity. Provoke. The pain is supposed to provoke you to do something, to go somewhere, to be something you've never been because you've only visualized it. What is the rhetoric that you have in behind money, man? Building wealth is it's a rigorous journey. How do we create more time that gives us freedom? Provoked. That's what financial therapy is. It is about provoking you to be in the uncomfortable place that challenges you outside of your norm. Financial therapy. You know why we don't go to therapy? We don't want to talk about it. You know why marriage couples don't want to go to therapy? Because it's easier to sit in it than it is to talk about it. Not knowing sitting in it cooks us more. Sitting in it is more damaging. Sitting in it is dangerous. Wanting to build wealth, never have been wealthy, having financial trauma is an oxymoron. It's easier for somebody to build wealth when they come from wealth because they already have an established foundation. It's harder for someone who has never come from wealth to build wealth because the possibilities are here, but the belief barrier is here. So the oxymoron is what separates us. The wealth, the poverty, we gotta be provoked to prosperity. Oh man. Oh man. Oh man. So I gotta ask you, do you truly want the answers to what it takes to build wealth? Here's how I know that most people don't really want the answers. Because when you put up something to get them there, they say, well, why don't you give me the whole thing? Okay, let me make it make sense. Yo, I want a cake, but if I give you the ingredients, the next thing is, yo, what's the measurements? What? You don't want to do none of the work. You want me to just give it to you every time. You got to be provoked to cook the goddamn cake. You got to be provoked to get to wealth, yo. You ain't never been there before. You got to want it more than you say you want it. You got to visualize it. But what happens when your mind and your heart don't agree on the action that got to be taken? What happens? What happens? What do we do? Do we broaden the range of our knowledge? Do we broaden the range of our execution? What do we do? Or do we succumb to our norms? Have we not put ourselves in a situation where we look at where we are and we think about where we want to be and something in us says, I need to divorce my norms? You married to him. You married to comfort. You're married to the routine. You're married to dysfunction. But somehow, some way, you have this lust for wealth. And I've said it before, we lust things because in our mind and in our heart, something about us feels that we cannot achieve it. The things that you're lusting for often seems out of reach. But I want you to go past the uncomfortable and find the why. And then once you find it, I want you to work on trusting you enough to obtain it. Let your inner thoughts collaborate with the feeling that you second guess. The feeling. I remember when I made my first million, y'all, I was uncomfortable. I was scared. I've never seen that much money in my life. It was in my bank account. You talking about trap, somebody who was homeless, somebody who went to prison, somebody who mama abandoned him. I was young, my grandmother went to, like, I'm talking about, I'm seeing it, and I knew everybody around me wanted to be millionaires, but here I was, a millionaire, sleeping on my great aunt's sofa, and I was scared to death to move in the streets of New Orleans because I felt like everybody knew I was a millionaire. Nobody didn't. But what happened was I was harboring a feeling. I was harboring it. So I need you to let the inner thoughts of what you want to be, I want you to let them collaborate with the things that you second guess so they can come together and say, yo, here's where we need to go. I want you to investigate. I want you to evaluate. Do you really know your core beliefs? Do you really know what you believe in outside of what Trap has told you, outside of what your mama has told you, outside of what your friends have told you? What are the core beliefs? What are you anchored to? What is the significant reason? In actuality, are you truly finessing yourself? Are you lying to yourself? Because a lie told to oneself long enough becomes a core belief. A lie told to oneself long enough becomes a core belief. Financial therapy. We need it. We need it because we don't think in the right manner. We don't have enough belief in ourselves. We don't have enough of belief in our abilities. We don't have enough of belief that we can operate at a level that not only acquires wealth, but sustains it, passes it down, and normalizes it. Okay, I like to talk about myself again. Cause that's how it makes sense to me. The first million. The first thing every time I spent the dollar, yo, I was checking my bank account. I had none created. I was blessed with a new norm. The first million. I was scared. The first million, I kept thinking about my daughter. The first million, I don't want to lose it. The first million, this is game changing. The first million, oh my God. The first million, I was petrified. The first million, I'm caught in the bank making the show is mine. I was in disbelief, y'all. I'm keeping it real. I wasn't comfortable. I even told myself I didn't deserve it. Something in me made myself believe that I didn't deserve it. Something in me wanted to go give it to my homies to help them. Like, yo, here, bro, get on. Like, something in me didn't believe that I was worthy enough to acquire it. Financial therapy. I ain't talking about you. You trying to get there. That's cool. I got to speak to you from experience. The first million, yo, I was like, yo, this cannot be real. The first day I made it, I watched the account every single day. I did not want to spend nothing. The first million. Financial therapy. Financial therapy. But a lot of y'all on y'all way. A lot of y'all on y'all way to the first one. It's not as hard as people make it seem. The first one, if I'm being honest with you, you can stumble up on that one. It just take the right belief system and take the right consistency and the right grind. You can go get the first one easy. It's the second one, and the third one, and the fourth one, and the fifth one that changes you completely. Because you got to keep adapting a new mindset. You got to keep adapting a new belief. You got to keep telling yourself you're worthy. You got to start separating yourself from certain people because their conversations don't align with where you're going. But you got to still let them people know that you love them, but yet you're on a different journey. But yet you still got to be open for when they're ready. So I'm talking about financial therapy. I'm talking about going deep, man. I ain't talking about surface level. I'm telling you that every million you get going to change you. If you think I'm lying, go ask a multimillionaire and tell them, give you the real. Most of them won't because they don't know you like that. So you got to ask somebody. You got to get cool. You got to build a relationship with somebody who willing to have that conversation. I sat down with my homies a couple days ago and we ain't talking about business. We talking about, bro, how your mindset, how your mind is, how your mama doing, how you feel, how the money got you feeling. And believe it or not, everybody said they was happy. But about an hour into the conversation, everybody started unloading. You know why? We had to make sure it was a safe place. We had to make sure who was sitting on this side of me, not amongst ourselves, but who was listening, who was behind us, who was in front of us when the waitress came. Financial therapy. Financial therapy. Because the person who changes their family life, the person who changes the culture within the family, that person is bearing such the burden. You are the visionary. You are the pioneer. You are the trailblazer. But you are the one that suffers the most in silence. Because everybody don't see the vision. You can't have millionaire talk with people who not millionaires yet. And it's not that they don't understand. It's not that they ain't with it, but they ain't touched it yet. They still in the visionary stage. They ain't touched it yet. They excited about it. Being around you makes them thrive for it. Being around them makes them thirsty for it. But it's hard to have the conversation with because they don't understand the pressure. And it's not their fault. Because everybody got the visions. Everybody got the dream. Everybody got the aspiration. But what it takes... What it takes, the pressure, the uncertainty. And if you don't have the financial therapy, every day you will think about losing it. I heard Gabrielle Union say something in one of the interviews. She said, every day I ask myself, do I have enough to take care of my family, to take care of my mother, to take care of my father? And immediately I said, I remember when I was right there. And Shut Network is way greater than mine, but I remember going to financial therapy, y'all. All right. I think we drove that in. So tonight, I challenge you again to open yourself up to a thought-provoking, soul-searching, uncomfortable why. And I need you to write down your core beliefs behind money. What is it that you fear? What is it that you are scared of? What is it that makes you uncomfortable? I need you to write it. I need you to identify it, because the more you run away from it, the more the closer you get to that million, the closer you get to success, the more you're going to pull back when you're supposed to be all gas. And it's hard to be all gas when you fear something. And before I get into the show, let me say this. One of the reasons why I got out of the streets, I bowed out gracefully, because when me and my homie went hit that last lick, we went hit the last lick, and I never forget, I'm thinking I'm getting the stuff. The dude pull up behind me, boom, he pull out on me. My dog was doing something. I heard the gun. I said, damn, I'm about to go out like this. And my dog saved my life. God bless his soul. It's Calvin out the Magnolia. That's my dog. He saved my life. He wound up dying in prison. But when we finished, he told the dude in that moment, he said, bro, I can't stop you from killing my homie. But listen, if you kill him, it's going to be two dead people right there. We only got to do this. By God's grace, the dude let me go. And I remember we went outside. We got into the car. We drove home. And I told my dog, with the little money we had, I gave it to him. I said, bro, I'm good. And my homie was locked in. He was like, man, you tripping, man. You know, that's part of the game, bro. You know, saved my life. Buku time, bro. That's part of it. I said, nah, bro. I thought about the consequences. So I thought about the consequences, bro. I don't want to go back to the pen, and I damn sure ain't willing to die like this. And see, here's the thing about the streets. This will hurt a lot of people. Once you realize that that part ain't in you no more, most people try to fight the feeling. That's what gets you killed. That's what gets you jammed up. Because you know, like, bro, it ain't, I'm good. Because once you start thinking about the outcome, once you start thinking about what's happening, now you ain't in it no more. Because being in the streets, just like building wealth, it's instinctive. A lion can't be a dominant person, a dominant being, it can't be the king of the safari if it ain't moving off instinct. The minute the lion start thinking about the hyenas, the minute the lion start thinking about the water buffaloes, the minute the lion start stop thinking that he's the lion, it's the minute he goes from lion to lunch. That minute, it's a split second, lion to lunch. The minute he start thinking, the minute he start saying, if I go over here, the hyenas gonna do this, he went from lion to lunch. The minute he start saying, I can't go over here and conquer this, he go from lion to lunch. Ain't no more legacy. So for me, I'ma just keep it real. I done already been shot. I done already been to prison. I done already beat a couple charges. I done almost been kidnapped. I done already been through everything I needed to go through. I'm like, bro, I'm good. I'm good. My dog went to jail 12 months later. He wound up dying in the pen. He wound up dying in the pen. Because he hit a lick. That's what we did. He hit a lick. I hit a lick. I ain't with him. I'm like, bro, I'm good. And he was like, nah, bro. And so in his mind, he wanted to show me that he could hit the lick without me, knowing we done hit numerous licks together. I know my role. He knew his role. But he wanted to show me that he could do it without me. Wound up catching an armed robbery charge. Wound up passing away in prison because he had sickle cell. My brother. So you got to know if it ain't instinctive. Financial therapy, if you don't heal from that, you're not going to move in the wealth game because you're going to start thinking about, if I invest my money, what happens if I lose it? If I go all in on this business, what happens if it don't? Like, I can move in the stock market now instinctively. I can move around in business instinctively. I ain't scared of the loss. I embrace the loss because there's data in the loss. Financial therapy.